This is Carl Johnson with an essay from the back page. In his 1996 book, Slouching Towards Gomorrah, Robert Bork contends that our culture is inexorably moving in slow increments toward the same immoral condition that characterized Sodom and Gomorrah. In view of recent events involving the homosexual elements in our culture, however, it seems that we're no longer slouching toward that same moral abyss, but rather we are now in full sprint. Among the institutions that have the greatest influence in shaping the attitudes of our culture are the entertainment industry, major newspapers, major universities, and our court system. All of these institutions are strongly coercing us to embrace the pro-homosexual agenda today. For example, editorials in most major newspapers praise the actions of the U.S. Supreme Court that decriminalized sodomy in the United States. And they also praise the Episcopal Church that appointed as a bishop a homosexual who left his wife and two children for another man. Several states are now considering making same-sex marriages legal, and for the first time in its over 70-year history, Bride Magazine published an issue for the proper etiquette of same-sex marriages. Homosexual characters have been staples on television sitcoms for several years now, and it's a very common thing for Major League Baseball parks and for theme parks such as Disneyland and Disney World to promote Gay Community Night, and gay pride parades are commonplace in the larger cities. And these are just a few of the examples of the pro-homosexual developments to which we are regularly exposed. Typical of the campuses of major universities is what happened a few years ago to Cornell professor Dr. Jim Aist. He posted flyers on campus offering help to homosexuals. The flyers offered free to students and faculty carefully researched scientific information about the cause of homosexuality and guidance for homosexuals who wish to leave that lifestyle. As a consequence, Aist was accused of sexual harassment, discrimination, and abuse of power. Students staged a six-hour sit-in in protest against him, and his own chairman and dean pursued charges against him. He endured the scrutiny of 10 investigations in 2 years while the press paraded accusations against him. What happened to Dr. Aist is typical of what our culture power brokers do to anyone who publicly refuses to endorse the pro-homosexual agenda. If you disagree with them, you are immediately labeled and condemned as a homophobe and as one filled with hate. To adapt a phrase from William Congreve, hell hath no fury like a militant homosexual whose lifestyle is unendorsed. Ask the Boy Scouts of America. Scripture is replete with examples of how difficult it is for God's people to live in the midst of an ungodly culture and not be affected by it. This difficulty is well illustrated in a story in George Barna's book, The Frog in the Kettle. Barna says that you can place a frog in a kettle of boiling water and it will jump out quickly. But if you place a frog in a kettle of room temperature water and slowly increase the temperature until the water is boiling, the frog will stay in the water until it boils to death, not perceiving the gradual increase in temperature. Similarly, because of our gradual pro-homosexual indoctrination over the last couple of decades, you should not be surprised if you discover that some of your closest daily associates look at the gay movement with sympathy. God's Word, however, warns us that homosexuality is a perversion, a work of the flesh, and those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Romans 1, verses 26 and 27, 1 Corinthians 6, and verse 9. Under the law of Moses, homosexuality is described as an abomination punishable by death, Leviticus 18, verse 22. Militant homosexuality was the defining sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Where do you think the term sodomy came from? And God called it exceedingly wicked and very grievous, Genesis 13, verse 13, Genesis 18, and verse 20. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of the enormity of their sin and made them an example to all who would choose to live such ungodly lives thereafter. 2 Peter 2 and verse 6, Jude verse 7. If there's any consolation to be found in the shocking acceleration of our culture's pace toward Sodom, it is the hope that it will awaken an otherwise unsuspecting people to the moral rot taking place around them and motivate them to return to God. In view of that possibility, we must be prepared to share the gospel with all who are in sin, including those who are living in the morass of homosexuality. The Apostle Paul reveals that some of the Corinthians were guilty of that lifestyle, but he concludes in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, that when they turned from it in obedience to the gospel, they were washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.